Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Thursday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ the Life's message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, I pray with you. If you have any questions about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus and I support you. If you have any comments, ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you call to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages, the Lord been sending through his angel messenger, I will get that to you as well. And for those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments over the air, contact me at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, I will get back to you. Amen. So without further ado, before we go any further, for those of you who are listening, hey, if you don't mind, because I know some of you may mind, okay, but for those of you that don't mind, why don't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you for this blessed day in Christ Jesus. We thank you for this opportunity you have caused us once again to assemble together once again. And Father, we thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name for blessing us with the presence of your Spirit. We thank you for giving discernment as we petition you for it, that you impart unto your people that is in the body of Christ, that your body may be edified. Father, we beseech you, Lord, this day for greater spiritual discernment in every situation we face, in the name of Jesus. And we're grateful, Lord, that eyes have not seen or ears have not heard the things you have prepared for those who love you. Father, we know this is true. And Lord, this day, we thank you for filling our heart with expectation in the name of Jesus. So, dear Lord, reveal your deeper spiritual truths to us through your Spirit. Father, we know according to your word that your Spirit searches all things. It searches the deepest spiritual things, Lord God. And Father, we don't want to use our carnal mind to even attempt to figure things out, Lord. So instead, we desire to be spiritually minded because we know this will bring us life and peace, Lord. So, Lord God, we thank you for discernment and helping us discern the truth from the false. In Jesus' almighty name we pray. And Father, we thank you. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Tonight, I'm starting on a new section of a series, and I don't remember if the last section I was on, renouncing Mormonism, the teaching of the their teaching and belief of the Holy Spirit, and I don't remember if I mentioned that I was going to do a part seven of that. If I did, the part seven I was going to do, I realized that it could go to another part later on what we're going to be dealing with from the Articles of Faith and Practice, so I would say that to later. So now I'm going on to a new section of a series, and this section is titled Renouncing Mormonism, Baptized for the Dead. Renouncing Mormonism, Baptized for the Dead. Now, I'm going to open with, from the Articles of Faith and Practice, amen. And for those of you who are first-time listeners, Blog Talk Radio does record our broadcast. And if you listen to me on this page with the Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast page, you should be able to scroll down and you'll see all the past episodes. And you can always go all the way down to the bottom, and it has numbers at the bottom where you can see more of the past episodes that we did. And I say that to say this, for those of you who are first-time listeners, go back to the beginning. In the very beginning of the series, and why I'm dealing with this is because it's dealing with the Mormonism's teaching and believing, and it started back to what they teach and believe about God. Now, for those of you who are first-time listeners, you say, oh, wait a minute, why are you attacking them? Listen, I want you to understand it's not about attacking them. I want you to understand what this whole thing is dealing with and it's about. See, we come on this broadcast, and if you're a first-time listener, hey, we are in the Church of Christ, the Lies, the Message, and Jesus has commissioned us to tell you guys about the work of the restitution, restoration of all things. Now, if you were to go search up the Church of Christ Eliza message, you would see at least a couple of things. Number one, you would see Joseph Smith. Now, if you are in dealing with, I guess we can use the term, any kind of theology or dealing with anything in dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ in the Word of God or being a Christian, okay, most of you, I'm not going to say all of you, most of you have heard of Joseph Smith. And to be honest with you, I guarantee you the biggest bulk you heard about him, if not the whole 100%, was nothing good, okay? So you will also see that he started Mormonism. And so you will see that he's all also connected to this work of restitution, restoration. So automatically, the first thing you would think is that, oh, y'all the Church of Christ Eliza message, oh, y'all Mormons. No, we're not. The second thing you will see, when you look up the Church of Christ Eliza message, you will see it would say it is a branch of the Latter-day Saints, which is also Mormon. Once again, wrong. And so the Lord had given to me, he had, has he been sending his angel with messages that the angel of the Lord, the Elijah, is bringing before the Lord in a book called The Word of the Lord, which is the messages of the Lord Jesus Christ that I announced at the beginning of this broadcast. Anyhow, in the beginning of the book, there's what is called the Articles and Practice. And the Lord had inspired these men to write this, who was on the, what is called the Temple Light. Amen. And the Lord had witnessed to that. He inspired these men to write that. So he had showed me that, and this is of also the foundation dealing with the church, is to confess and stand on by faith. And he showed me that through these in through these articles of faith and practice, it gives the church the right to renounce Mormonism, which is something Joseph Smith started. Now, however, Joseph Smith, in the beginning, when he was humble, was used by God. But he strayed off the path, and he started Mormonism. And so when something is connected to you that is ungodly, you have to renounce it, okay? And all the evil that Joseph Smith did has to be renounced, okay? So this is why I'm doing it. So, amen. It's not about spreading hate to the Mormons. My thing is that I pray that God would save them, okay? I pray that they would hear this and be converted and truly converted to Christ, amen? So, having said that, we're going to go on, okay? Now, I'm going to open up with the Articles in Faith and Practice, number four. This is number four. And I want to read to you, and then we're going to go into the lesson and, you know, the way that the, whatever the way the Lord wants to go tonight, I'm going to open up with that and read some research and evidence on what the Mormons believe in dealing with what I'm going to read today, and then go in hopefully some scriptures. But I'm here to tell you this is part one of this. I'm not going to be able to get it all today. And for those of you first-time listeners, I do, when I do teaching and preaching series, especially teaching series, I go in parts. So I don't try to rush anything, okay? And it's not about trying to drag things on a long time either, okay? Amen. Now, having said that, let me read to you number four in the Articles of Faith and Practice. It said, we believe, that this is the church expressing its faith in believing what the Word of God said. We believe that men will be punished for their own sins and not for Adam's transgression, and that as a consequence of the atonement of Christ, all little children are alive in Christ, and also all they that are without the law, for the power of redemption cometh on all they that have no law. Wherefore, he that is not condemned, or he that is not, that is under no condemnation, cannot repent. And unto such baptism availeth nothing. Now, one of the key things I see in here is where it says that he that is not condemned or that is under no condemnation cannot repent. And in that case, baptism availeth nothing. Okay? It can't do anything. Now, the reason why, one of the things that this gives us the right to renounce Mormonism because Mormons teach and believe in what is called the baptism for the dead. Okay? The baptism for the dead. Now, I want to read to you some proof on that, that they believe in the baptism for the dead. Amen. And hopefully go into some scriptures. Amen. On this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I want to go to, and this article is entitled Baptism for the Dead, Part 1, Talking to the Mormons. Okay. Baptism for the Dead, Part 1, Talking to the Mormons. Now, one of the things that, and it talks about in here, it said Mormonism is the first and probably the only religion ever to claim that every one of the billions and billions of people who have ever lived in history needs to have baptism performed on their behalf. Okay? Do you hear that? The LDS believe that along with baptism, other works for the dead are necessary for their salvation. As LDS members, they do research to get the names of the dead. Now, I'm going to stop there on that one. So, for what we understand here, Mormonism believes that everyone, whoever lived in history, needs to have baptism performed on their behalf. So they really uplift and advertise baptism. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I want to read another proof to you. Now, this comes from at Gerald and Sandra Tanner. Now, for those of you who don't know who Sandra Tanner is, she's supposed to be the great-great-granddaughter of Brigham Young, who was the, quote, second prophet of the Mormons. He the one that came behind Joseph Smith when Joseph Smith was killed. Okay? He come in just, you know, he just, from what I understand, just took over. But anyhow, this great-great-granddaughter who was in Mormonism, she comes out of it. And she told a lot of things about Mormonism, and she wrote some books, and her husband together. And the name of this book is The Changing World of Mormonism. The Changing World of Mormonism. Now, I want to read to you. Now, this is, and she definitely come out of Mormonism, was a Mormon. I want to read to you what she says here in this book. She says, the Mormon doctrine of baptism for the dead was first practiced in Nauvoo, Illinois. Wilford Woodruff reported that Joseph Smith himself, and Joseph Smith, you know, was the one that started Mormonism. Like I said, when he was humble, God used him, but he got off the path, and he started Mormonism, which is not of God. So it says that Wilford Woodruff reported that Joseph Smith himself went into the Mississippi River one Sunday night after meeting and baptized 100. Then Woodruff said, I baptized another 100. The next man, a few rods from me, baptized another 100. We were strung up and down the Mississippi, baptizing for our dead. Do you hear that? They was baptizing for dead folks, okay? Hallelujah. But there was no recorder. The Lord told Joseph, now listen to what he said. He said, the Lord told Joseph, talking about Joseph Smith, that he must have recorders present. Of course, we had to do the work over again. Nevertheless, now he got to have recorders now. They, according to Wilford Woodruff, they baptized a total of 300 people for the dead. And now the Lord told him, say, he had to have a recorder, so they had to do it all over again. He said they had to do it all over again, okay? Nevertheless, that does not say the work was not of God. And this is reported, I think this is a book or a paper there's called the Deseret Weekly, Volume 42, as quoted in the Temples of the Most High by N.B. Lundwall, the year 1962, okay? Now, on May the 2nd, 1843, Charlotte Haven wrote a letter in which she told of watching the Mormon elders baptizing for the dead in the river, which was icy cold at the time. We drew a little nearer and heard several names repeated by the elders as the victims were doused. And you can imagine our surprise when the name George Washington was called. So after these 50 years, he is out of purgatory. Purgatory, what does that sound familiar? Oh, that sounds almost like for me like Roman Catholic. Anyhow, so after these 50 years, he is out of purgatory and on his way to the celestial heaven. Now, we're going to talk about that at another time, these three kingdoms they talk about. But anyhow, so according to what Charlotte Haven wrote, one of the people that they baptized somebody that's living for that was dead was George Washington. And so she said, by this, George Washington now is out of, after 50 years, he out of purgatory. Wow. And this recorded in what is, I guess this is a book or magazine of theirs called Overland Monthly, December 1890. Now, she goes on to record, the early Mormon leaders seem to have been very confused concerning baptism for the dead. Brigham Young, okay, and this is her great-great-grandfather, once stated, hundreds and thousands, I suppose, were baptized before any record was kept at all, and they were baptized over, and the record was kept. The Lord did not reveal everything at once, but I need not dwell on this any longer. That's in his book called Journal Discourses, okay? Hallelujah. So they believe in what is called the baptism for the dead. She goes on to say, the Mormon leaders teach that the spirits, now listen to this, that the spirits of people who have died cannot enter the celestial kingdom of heaven until a Mormon is baptized for them by proxy. For example, a living person is immersed on behalf of the dead persons. Now, if any of you have dealt with Mormons and you wonder, and you get to talking to them about a relative or somebody of yours that died, and you wonder why they ask you all these questions, these questions about your relative, that this is why they're doing it, okay? They believe in baptism for the dead. Yeah, for dead folks. See, they exalt water baptism high in a place where it should not be. This is why in the Articles of Faith Practice, it says that he that is not condemned or that is not under condemnation cannot repent. And unto such, baptism availeth nothing. But according to the Mormons, and I want to read to you an article from their own website, which is titled Baptism for the Dead, okay? This is on the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints website, titled Baptism from the Dead. This is what they says. Now listen to this. They said, Jesus Christ taught that baptism is essential to the salvation of all who lived on earth. It said baptism. Now we're talking about water baptism. Many people, however, have died without being baptized. Others were baptized without proper authority. See, the proper authority to them is that the right authority that they're talking about is that you be baptized in the Mormons by the Mormon church. Okay. Now, he goes on to say, because God is merciful, he has prepared a way for all people to receive the blessings of baptism. See, they see how they really exalting baptism? By performing proxy baptisms, which I define to you what that means. That's a living person standing in and being put in the water baptized for someone that's dead. So they said, by performing proxy baptism in behalf of those who have died, church members offer these blessings to deceased ancestors. Now, wait a minute. They in another. Anyhow, individuals can then choose to accept or reject what has been done in their behalf. They talking about those who have parted on. As Sandra Tanner had said in a book that those spirits that had departed unto another world, okay, now let's say you're alive and you get baptized for them. Now they get to choose to accept or reject what you have done on their behalf. Okay. They go on to say, Jesus Christ said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Even Jesus Christ himself. Now, when they said it, they quoted John 3 and 5. That's one of the scriptures they use to support about this baptism for the dead. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Okay? That's one scripture they use to support this baptism of the dead. However, they use another scripture. They says on this website, they said the New Testament indicates that baptism for the dead were done during the time of the Apostle Paul. And they give you 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 29. This ordinance was restored with the establishment of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Now, I just read to you here, giving you proof along this line. I'm going to click on my sister here. God bless you, sister. How you doing?
Oh, I'm blessed, brother. God bless you. I couldn't get you on that website, so I thought I'd just call in and listen. Thank God for you.
Okay, sister. God bless. All right. Praise the Lord for our sister here. Now, I just read to you how that the Mormons believe what is called baptized for the dead, which God's word through the Article of Faith and Practice that he inspired the men to write tells us that if one is not under condemnation, if he's not condemned, then he cannot repent. And if he don't repent, baptism availeth nothing. But you heard, as I've given you proof here, that the Mormons believe in what is called baptized for the dead. So you might well say they disregard the repenting part. This is why the Lord had this, inspired these men to write this in this article of Faith and Practice, number 4, where it says, until such baptism availeth nothing. Because Mormonism exalts the baptized in water. And they put it in a place where it has no business being. Listen, water baptism is, quote, part of the plan of God. Now, like I said, this is just part one tonight. We're going to talk some other things on this subject here. It's part of the plan of God. But it is not the plan. It's not the main thing. If you listen to what I read to you and what the Mormons believe and teach, you will say baptism is everything. It is the essential thing you need to enter the kingdom. Okay? Now, I want to read to you out of the book, once again, The Changing World of Mormonism, where one of the Mormon leaders, whose name is Orson Pratt, how that he admitted that the Bible don't contain any information as to how baptism for the dead should be performed. I'm pretty sure if it's a doctrine of Christ, I'm pretty sure he would give us some kind of inkling on how to perform it, right? Like he told us about baptism, okay? Water baptism, he told us about, you know, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, okay? Okay, amen. I'm pretty sure if it's a doctrine of Christ where we are to baptize for the dead, I'm pretty sure that he would give us some way how to perform it. Now, she's going to say his excuse for the Bible not containing this information was that it was probably lost or taken out of the Bible. Now, this is what Orson Pratt. So Orson Pratt admitted that the Bible don't contain any information on how to perform this baptism for the dead. His only excuse was it probably was lost or taken out of the Bible. Okay. Now, I want to read to you what he claims. He says, this doctrine of baptism, now he already called it a doctrine, this doctrine of baptism for the dead must have been well understood by them. Now, when and in what manner was this doctrine communicated to them? It may have been, this way he said may, that means he really don't know, he's guessing. It may have been fully developed to them in the epistle, which he says that he had previously written to them. See, this is what it, This, see, they remember I told you one of the scriptures they come from in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And remember, point that there was another epistle, because Paul mentioned in there that he wrote an epistle unto them before, which the Bible doesn't contain. So this is what Orson Pratt is saying. He's saying that, you know, it may have been fully developed to them in the epistle, which he said that he had previously written to them. This doctrine may have been as important as baptism to the living. Does the written or unwritten word of God with which Christendom are acquainted inform them anything about how this ceremony is to be performed? This is what he's asking. Does it inform them who is to officiate? Who is the candidate in behalf of the dead? What classes of the dead are to be benefited by it? Does scripture or tradition inform us in what particular baptism for the dead would affect them in the resurrection? Does it inform us whether baptism for the dead can be administered in all places or only in a baptismal font in a temple consecrated for that purpose? All these important questions remain unanswered by scripture and tradition. This is in, I guess it's the book Orson Pratt's Works, 1891, page 205. Okay, so even one of their leaders, Orson Pratt, he had to admit, he said, hey, you know, the Bible don't tell you how to do this. Now, he's already calling it a doctrine. Now, if anything's a doctrine of Christ, remember God's protocol, okay? Remember the protocol of the Lord. What is the protocol of the Lord? In the mouth of two or three witnesses. You go back to Deuteronomy, what, 17, Deuteronomy 19, Matthew 18, 2 Corinthians 13. It tells you the order of God, the mouth of two or three witnesses. So I'm pretty sure if something is a doctrine of Christ, he's going to have two or three witnesses on it. Okay? He's going to have two or three witnesses on it. Amen. And notice something else that I read to you that they didn't say. Now, I read to you that two scriptures they gave to kind of support this baptism from the dead is found from the Bible. They come with 1 Corinthians 15 and John chapter 3. But notice they don't mention nothing about their own book supporting it. No, don't mention nothing about that. Okay. But yet still, they already calling it a doctrine and they practicing it in their quote it this day in their temple. Okay, they're practicing it. Baptism for the dead. Okay. So your dead mama, dead daddy, grandmama, auntie, whoever it is, you can get baptized for them. And it's important for them, you know, to get, so they can, you know, enter into the celestial kingdom. Not so much of them, now they can accept what you have done for them, okay, so they can enter into the kingdom. Not so much about repenting, okay? You got even a lot of churches besides the Mormon church that exalts water baptism. Amen. You got a lot of, and I'm not picking on the people that say, hey, please, my Christian brothers and sisters that are Baptists, please don't get offended. But I got to be honest with you. Many of the Baptist churches are big on getting water baptized. We'll dump you in a minute. Only thing you had to do is say, oh, I just like this, and I like this place's atmosphere. I want to be a member. It's not so much as your conversion of your heart to Christ now. It's about being a member, putting you in the water, okay? Dump you in the water. Well, listen, the Mormons that went as far to say, hey, it's essential for salvation that if you ain't baptized in water, you can't enter the celestial kingdom. And they're using the scripture from John 3 and 5 where Jesus says, except you be born of the water and spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom. Do you see how that man can take something and put it in a place where God did not say it should be? Do you see that? That's what's happening, what's been happening. And now they're calling it a doctrine. A doctrine where there is no witnesses to support it. But you're calling it a doctrine, okay? But like I said, one of your own leaders have to admit The Bible, did you read all the questions he had that I read to you? All those, it's a bunch of questions. Who's the candidate for the, how you know who to choose to be baptized for a dead person and all this stuff? Ain't none of that given. But they calling it a doctrine, okay? Amen. They calling it a doctrine. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. They're calling it a doctrine. Now, one of the things, hallelujah, that I want to look at is one of the scriptures they use. Let's go to our Bibles. Let's go to this 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's go to this 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 29. Now, this is what, once again, like I told you, it's two scriptures that they come with to support this baptizing for the dead, okay? And like I said, they come with these two scriptures from the Bible. They don't say nothing about their own book. They don't say nothing about their own book, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. I remember, and I want to testify this right quick, that me and a family member was, you know, going to look up our family tree. You know how you have these different sites like Ancestry.com and all that? Just call it around, you know, see one that can help, you know, trace family tree and all this stuff. And we looked at this particular site. And as we were reading and going on down, I noticed it said, and that's what I didn't really know, that the Mormons was into those kind of sites like that. But now I'm understanding more why they are. And I noticed on that site, when they tell you they help you, you know, with the genealogy and all this stuff, then they had on there and they start asking you questions about your deceased relative. And I was like, oh, no, now, no, we ain't going there. We didn't even go that route anyhow. I'll put it that way. Okay. Because when I saw that, it was, you know, I said, no, we didn't go that route. And see, that's why. So if some of you have been dealing with them, you like, man, brother Nate, why they were asking me? But Uncle Rufus been dead 70 years, and they asked me all this question. I ain't get that. Why they doing that? Because that's why they think that they can get baptized for Uncle Rufus. Uncle Rufus may have cussed you out, cussed Jesus out, and everything. He ain't got to worry about repenting. Only thing they had to do is get baptized for them and give them a chance to accept what was done for them so they can enter the celestial kingdom. I guess forget baptism because, forget repentance. They're exalting the water baptism. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 29. Now, this is one of the verses they use to support their what they call doctrine of baptism for the dead, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 29, and look what the word says. Now, this is Apostle Paul speaking to the Christians at Corinth. And he says, I'm going to read verse 29. This is the verse they use. They said, else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? This is, like I said, this is one of the verses that the Mormons use to support baptism for the dead. Now, this is very interesting, okay? Now, they took one scripture out of a chapter, and they built a doctrine out of it. Now, I got to admit, they ain't the only people doing this, okay? They're one of the ones, but they're not the only ones. You got many doing this that claim to be of God. They take one doctrine, one scriptures rather, out of the Bible, and they create a doctrine where it has no support of witnesses, okay, that it is a doctrine of Christ. So they take this one verse out here, out of this one, this chapter here, to use it to support such things as the baptism for the dead. Now, let's talk about this verse for a minute here, because what we have to do And the Lord told me this over 15 years ago. You need to read a whole chapter before you just take a verse out of there. Okay, because I forgot what I was doing one time. I did, and I quite wasn't getting it. And the Lord was letting me know that, hey, you need to read. In fact, now that I think about it, thank you, Lord. This was back in the year 2000 when I was wondering and talking to the Lord about the rapture. And when I was talking to the Lord, and I talked to the Lord, I said, Lord, they use such and such verse from this chapter. And that's when the Lord spoke to me. I said, well, Lord, if they use that, I said, Lord, did you show them what truly that means? And the Lord said, yeah, if you look a few verses down. And so when I went and grabbed my Bible, that's when the Lord started dealing with me, said, you need to read a whole chapter instead of taking a verse out of there. Well, the Mormons here took this one verse out of here, out of this whole chapter. Now, if you were to read this whole 15th chapter, or if you read at least from verse 1 up to verse 29, one thing you would notice was really the subject of this chapter was not baptism. It was the resurrection. And what it was, if you look back, let's look at verse 12 and 13. In that same chapter, it said, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? So there were some people among them who were saying that there is no resurrection, that there will be no resurrection, okay? So the first thing you need to understand in this chapter here, this chapter overall subject was the resurrection. It was not baptized or being baptized for the dead or being baptized, period. That was not the subject, okay? The subject was the resurrection because there were some among them who said that there was no resurrection. So when you look at that and go back and look at verse 29 that they take out of here, you kind of can understand, okay, this is where they miss it at real bad and where they're building something that was not saying it was supposed to be a practice among Christians. If you look at verse 29, notice that the whole thing is nothing but what? Well, not the whole thing. The first is that else, what should they do? Well, yeah, actually the whole thing. The whole thing is more in a form of a question, right? It's not this verse here in verse 29, this chapter, is not a what is called a declarative statement or imperative. You say, okay, Brother Nate, hold on now. You're going through high school. Y'all, you know, man, you know I've been out of high school for years. I get that. I have too. Remember, when we was in school, there was what you call I think this was English class we learned, that there was what you call a declarative statement. That's a statement that's declaring something. Then there was an imperative statement. That's a statement which is commanding something. And what is called an interrogative statement, which was a statement of like of a question or something like that. Okay. So in verse 29, it was more of a question. He asked, else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? Okay. If the dead rise not at all, why are they being baptized for the dead? Okay. So there were some who was performing this based on them saying that there was no resurrection. Paul was not promoting this. He was saying, hey, this is what these verses basically were saying to them. So you guys say that there's no resurrection. And since there's no resurrection, the dead die. They just, that's it for them. Why are you getting baptized for them? That was the form of the question. He was not making it a doctrine. He wasn't doing that. Okay? Amen. He wasn't making no doctrine out of that.
In other words, he's saying, what are you getting baptized for them for? You talking about there's no resurrection. For what? Okay. But see, the Mormons took it and said, well, it was performed in Paul's time. Well, listen, if it was a doctrine to be performed in Paul's time, once again, there would be one or two more witnesses to this. There is no other one or two more witnesses to witness that baptism for the dead is a doctrine of Jesus Christ or practice of it. There is no witness to that, okay? Paul was asking this question due to the fact that there was those that was the some who were saying there is no resurrection of the dead. And so he said, if you're saying there's no resurrection of the dead, what you getting baptized for? For what? I mean, you know, you got some who's supposed to be Christians who said that they believe in what you call soul sleep. Once you're dead, you're like a dog. You're just dead gone. That's be like that. And so Paul, like, if you don't believe that's a resurrection, what are you getting baptized for the dead for? Paul, it ain't going to do no good for what? What are you getting baptized for if it ain't going to be no resurrection? Amen. He was not making, once again, a doctrine. If it was a doctrine of Christ, I'm pretty sure. Remember Paul that wrote to the Romans? He didn't wrote to the Galatians. He didn't wrote to the Ephesians. He didn't wrote to the Colossians. I'm pretty sure he would be mentioning even to them about baptizing for the dead. But he don't. Because why? It don't do no good. That's water baptism. Water baptism only has a place. Good Lord, help us, Lord. Because some of us as Christians will bite this bait because we are on the thing of saying, well, they are our brothers. The Mormons are our brothers and sisters. No, they're not. I don't say this is hatred. I'm going to be honest with you. No, they're not. They're not born again believers. Okay? No, they're not. Amen. There is no teaching or doctrine on the baptism for the dead. Okay? Ain't no doctrine, ain't no teaching on that. You get what I'm saying? You cannot get baptized for dead Uncle Rufus, who been dead 70 years. You can't, even though but they sent on baptism because the person wasn't baptized. Forget repentance, okay? I guess repentance just go out the window. Repent for what, I guess? The water baptism is what's stressed to them. But we are told by the Lord inspiring and through his word that if a person is not under condemnation, they cannot repent. And if they don't repent, the baptism availeth nothing. In many churches today, you got nothing but baptized members, not saved members. They are baptized. That's it. Okay? They're not fully explained the seriousness of a dedication of your life to Christ. No. The only thing they've been encouraged to do, the doors of the church is open. And the people get up, oh, I want to join, be a member of the church. Why? Because for some, that's just an added name on the resume. You know what I'm saying? You know when people campaign for an offer of position and they put their resume out what they got? They either some of them either part of a sorority or fraternity, Phi Beta, 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 Phi Bi, whatever. And then they have down there what church they're a member of. You ever notice that? Yeah, they put all that on there. That's what for some of them to join the church, that's what it's about. Add it on the resume. Oh, I'm a member of such and such church. That's it. It's not about Jesus Christ. It's by being a member of the church, so that'll look good on your resume, you know, especially running for office or some type of election. So people can look, oh, look, he's a member of the church. I guess forget being born again, being saved, okay? You just member of the church. And see, the water's exalted badly, okay? I mean, it's put in a place where it shouldn't be put at. The word of God properly puts water baptism where it should be at. Man has taken it, put it in a place it shouldn't be, and made a doctrine out of it. So when you look at it, water baptism is way more important than repentance. It's more important than anything. Because if the people was in this lifetime, and because they didn't get baptized, and they died, they can't enter the, quote, kingdom, then that shows you how very important that the Mormons are telling you that water baptism is, that if it keeps you from the kingdom, okay, because you ain't baptized. Wow. And it's sad to say, some Christians are really biting the bait on this. Biting the bait on them. I'm telling you, they hook, line, and sink. My God. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to give my sister a chance to say something, if she wants to. God bless you, sister. You got any comment on this?
No, God bless you, brother. I was just listening, and I thank God, you know, that I'm listening to the broadcast, and I listen to you men, that you come from the scripture. And for anyone that's listening, I pray that they did not get in their mind that they could be baptized for a dead relative, because when you are dead, I mean, when this old body is dead, you can live your life on earth, and that's on earth is where you make your decision and your choice whether you want to live saved or not. If you decide you do not want to live saved and you die, you dead, and you know where you're going from there. There's no one that can be baptized for you and change your circumstances. When you die, your circumstances are what they are. You died in your sin, and there's no baptism for you to come out of them. You're dead. I just thank God that you bring the word according to the scriptures, because, you know, it's time out for plan. It's time out for planned church. You know, there's more world in church than holiness in church now, you know.
Amen.
Because people come in and they bring whatever with them, because the people are in charge are looking for the mighty dollar instead of looking to save souls. I thank God for you.
You're definitely right there, sister. I agree with you 100%, because this is why this has to be called out. And where, you know, it's amazing how that one scripture is taken out of a chapter, and it is a doctrine built on it, the baptism for the dead. And once again, it was really a scripture where Paul was really asking a question. He did not command his practice. He basically was asking them, since y'all don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, what you getting baptized for the people for? I mean, it don't make no sense, okay? Because it's not going to do a thing. But see,
that's right.
If something is a doctrine of Christ, it's going to be in the mouth of two or three witnesses. It's not going to be just one. And once again, this is one of a couple of scriptures. When I come back on part two, I'll be talking about the other one that they have used to defend, to say, hey, this is the water baptism is it. But like I said, it ain't coming from their own, quote, book. We're not up.
Amen.
And that's amazing. You know, you're already holding, quote, the Book of Mormon high, and you're in many cases disregarding the Bible, okay? But you want to use two scriptures from the Bible to say, hey, this is our proof right here. And really, on this scripture right here we just looked at, they look pretty bad. They look mighty bad on that, because that really was just a form of a question. It was not a sentence of command, you know, to practice this. And I'm pretty sure in the Bible, like I said, you got Colossians, you got Romans, you got Ephesians, Galatians. I'm pretty sure if this was a doctrine of Christ, Paul would have been telling the other Christians as well. He would have been ministering and telling them the same thing as well. So this definitely is not, and this is why the Lord has given us the right to renounce Mormonism. Okay?
Yeah.
This is the reason why he has given us the right. And I know, sister, some brothers and sisters cry, oh, no, we don't need it. Listen, it's not about trying to hurt people. It's about calling out the doctrine. And the doctrine is darkness. It's not of God. And you got to call anything that's connecting itself to you that is ungodly has to be renounced. Okay? You can't go around being quiet all the time and keeping your mouth closed when you are approached because people are going to approach you. I mean, you know, you can't dodge that. You're going to tell them you're in the Church of Christ of Lies message, they go look it up, and then they're going to say, hey, heard you was a Mormon. You're going to go, I have nothing to say. I mean, I'm sorry, that ain't going to work. I have nothing to say. I don't have nothing to say on that. You don't have nothing to say? What the hell was y'all getting baptized for dead folk for? I don't have nothing to say. That's not going to cut it. That's not going to make it. I'm sorry. That's not going to cut it at all. So, amen.
Yep.
So,
amen.
Sister, we thank God for you, and may the Lord bless you and keep you, sister.
God bless you, brother. God bless you. Amen.
God bless. Thank God for our sister there, in Jesus' name. And we thank God for all of you that have been listening. Once again, Lord, say the same. I will be back with part two on Sunday. Look for the advertisement then. Tomorrow, Lord, say the same. I will be back with more concerning the Fifth Century Church. Amen. And then Saturday, continue more on the series concerning the evil martial arts. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is God, and there is none greater than you. Lord God, we thank you for blessing us to come through this broadcast and helping us this day and strengthening us, for you're worthy to be praised and be glorified. I pray that everyone that was listening was touched by the Spirit of God. I pray that you have revealed to them the things that they've been seeking of the truth. And Father, may their spirits be edified and strengthened. So Lord God, we praise you, we glorify you, we magnify you, we lift you up because you're worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Well, once again, I thank God for all you've been listening. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ and Lies, the message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.